Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you praise and honor and glory. Thanking you, Lord God, for this privilege that you've given to us to fellowship with you, Lord God, in prayer. We know, Lord God, that there are things that you want us to know, things that you want us to understand about prayer. We yield, Lord God, our members to you in this class. We ask that you would say what you want to say, do what you want to do, Lord God. We are yours, Father. And we thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I think on last week, we're studying obstacles to prayer. Our author is helping us to look at when we have been standing and confessing and believing God. We have a word, and our prayers are still not answered. He's helping us to begin to look at what's stopping, what's blocking, what's hindering. And that's what this lesson is all about, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we made good confessions, and we have scriptures, we have the word of God, and we say we are standing on the word, and it doesn't happen. Amen. And so he wants us to stop, and he wants us to look at, well, let's start with looking at some of the obstacles. Okay. And then you have to check it out. Last week we talked about, sometimes, you know, one of the obstacles was you do not ask, or you ask for the wrong thing. Y'all remember that? And then our author talks about spousal abuse. You know, we looked at that. And then we started with skepticism and doubt. We looked at one of the author's definitions that he found of the word doubt in the Greek. And I told y'all the only thing that I could see was at the end was Oreo. And it was A-P, I mean, that's gonna help you, okay? A-P-O-R-E-O. And he says, which means to be without direction, without resources, in a bind, perplexed, in doubt, confused, hopelessness, anxious, and unsteady regarding the path that one should take. We looked at, the statement, one thing that God teaches us is that doubt kills and destroys all hope of ever receiving anything from God. When you're in doubt, you no longer have hope that God is going to answer your prayer. We talked about it causes confusion and hesitation. And then we looked at, some of those words that the author used in the definition. And we looked at it a little bit more in detail. It's in your chapter. I'm not going to go over that. Read the chapter. Amen. We cannot pray and ask God for anything if we are in doubt of his existence. You know, when you're asking somebody for something, then you got to know that person. And in this case, you know, you got to know God, and you got to know that God is. You got to know who his person. Amen. Now, one of the scriptures that I wrote down, there are things that I put in parentheses. That means that things that I just added. You don't have to turn here. We're going to turn to the next scripture. But in Hebrews, and most of you have heard this scripture before, 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you have any doubt of God's existence, then you're not going to be able to pray in confidence. Amen? You're just not going to be able to pray in confidence. You got to know that God is who he says, that the word says he is. That's who he is. Amen? He is our Father. He loves us. He's given us promises. And his intention is to make everything that he has said good in our lives. Amen. I do want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 28 through 31. I'm just going to read it from right here. I have it written. Matthew 14, 28 through 31. Okay, y'all have it? Okay. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, now we know this account in the Bible. Jesus told them to go on. They were in the ship, and here it is in the middle of the night. Jesus comes walking on the water. Naturally, they were afraid. If you look a couple verses up, you know, it talks, and we just read this. Amen. amen. they saw him, and I mean, they were afraid. And one of the things that I think I read was that whenever Jesus comes, if you look in the Bible, he's always saying, fear not, or do not be afraid. Always, when he comes to us, these are the words that he tells us. In verse 27, it says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, I mean, don't be afraid. It is I, be not afraid. And verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Amen. One word, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Amen. Wherefore didst thou doubt? What Peter did, he obeyed the word of God. Amen. That's all he had to, that's all he had to stand on. He says, if it be thou, bid me come. Jesus said, come. Amen. He had so much faith in that word come that he got out of the ship and was walking on the water to Jesus. Amen. And oftentimes, this is what happens in our lives. We receive a word from God, a sure word, a sound word, a word just for us. And we start out on that word. It could be a word for your finances. It could be a word for your family. It could be a word for your body. You know, and we say, amen. But then we go to the doctor. And he gives us the results from the last test. And then all of a sudden, you know, all of that faith that we had, all of that excitement that we had, we begin to lose it because of what the doctor said. And this is what Peter was doing, you know, right here. He started looking at the wind, and the wind is boisterous. You know, and then, you know, in the scripture we see that, you know, as long as he's had his eyes on Jesus and was remembering what Jesus had said, he was able to walk on the water. And this is what we have to do in our lives. When you receive a word from God, hold on to that word. Do not give it up. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what's happening around you. Just keep your eyes focused on what God has told you. Remember, you know, when they were fishing, and he said, you know, Jesus told him, say, let down your net for a draw. If y'all remember that? And he said, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. But remember what he said? Nevertheless, at thy word, amen, we will let down the net. And when they had this done, that's what the Bible tells us. They caught what fish that they couldn't even catch them all by themselves. They had to call somebody to come and help them. And the, you know, these words are given to us to help build our faith, to let us know that this is what you have to do, no matter what. Stop listening. Stop looking. Stop focusing on just the circumstances. Focus on the Word of God or what God has said to you. Amen? No matter what. Now, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to be in fear and trembling. Your knees going to be knocking. You know, I'm serious. I've been there. Your knees, they're going to knock. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. All you know is I got a word from God. And I just be sure you got a word from God. And who's going to help you? The Holy Ghost. He's going to reassure you that this is your word from God. Amen. So just hang on to it and stop looking at the circumstances. Our author says we see many believers overwhelmed by crises in their lives because there is doubt in their hearts. If you're in doubt, then none of your petitions will be answered. I remember, I don't know if I heard Apostle say it or if I heard Brother Hagin say it, about you can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart. And the faith in your heart will beat the doubt in your head every time. You know, those thoughts are going to come. Just because they come, you know, don't think that you're not in faith. You know, what are you believing? And it's going to be, what you're going to be able to tell it by is, what are you willing to do? Amen? What are you willing to step out on? You know, if you're willing to step out on, even though you got these thoughts in your head, that's your head. That's just your head. Amen? But you want to check your heart out. Doubt enters our hearts when we fix our eyes on the circumstances around us instead of on Jesus. When we doubt, faith leaves, and he said fear strolls in. Doubt is nothing more than believing what the enemy can do against us, and I have in parentheses, instead of what God has already done through Jesus Christ. Amen? So just remember that. Doubt is nothing more than believing what the enemy can do. You're going to believe that more than you're going to believe what the Word of God says. Amen? Always focus on what God has said in his Word. We should take, when the thoughts of doubt come, our author says that we should take the thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, and it reads, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity," there it is, "every thought to the obedience of Christ." You know, so when you find yourself doubting, just go to this little scripture here and say, I cast you down. I'm taking you captive. I'm going to think only on what the Word of God says. Amen? Amen. He says, what is the answer to doubt? Our author says we must hear and meditate on God's Word. The answer to doubt is to learn what the Word of God says. And when we stop doubting, our prayers will be answered. Amen? Amen. So you see, you know, doubt is it's a hindrance. When we are in doubt, then we are preventing God from doing what he wants to do for us and in our lives. So what we're going to do, it's just a thought. Remember that. Doubt is just a thought. It's just a thought. And what we're going to do, take it captive, and we're gonna cast it down, and we're gonna replace it. Amen. You see, you can't just leave it empty. Can't just leave it empty. God, you gotta put something else there, and what you wanna put there is the Word of God. And that is the reason it is so important for us as members of the body of Christ to study the Word. Study the Word for ourselves. Yeah, it's good when we come to church. Yeah, we get so excited and we just get all pumped up, but then we got to go home. Amen? Amen? And then you have to study that Word for yourself. Yes. You know, and some people think that, you know, well, I got to read 15 chapters. No, you don't. Sometimes all you need is just one verse. Amen. One verse will carry you a long way. Amen. Especially if it's a Holy Ghost inspired verse. He has given it to you. Just write it. Just write it. Just write it. I had just a word that I wrote. Just a word. And believe it or not, I didn't even know it. I didn't even know pastor, apostle had, I didn't even know he had said it, until I heard it again. And then when I heard it again, and I say, well, I'm into this right now. A rhythm thing, it's like timing thing. Yeah. I say, well, Lord, is that you? And then all of a sudden I remembered my man of God said that, And I just stood on that. And everything in my life was opposite to what I was standing on. But I just kept on. I just think I must have lost my mind during that period. And it was a good losing your mind, my natural mind. I lost my natural mind. And it's like, okay, I was just standing on the word of God. Just stood there. Amen. And it's like I had to look around sometime and just see, like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? But I was just, I'm gonna believe God. I'm just gonna believe God. And and sometimes I would say, I say, Lord, now this is, I cannot afford to miss you. I say, Lord, now like he didn't know. I say, Lord, if I miss you, I could die. But it's like, okay. And then I thought about it. Well, I might miss God, but God will never miss me. Amen. And this is what we have to remember. We have to remember. Sometimes we just get so caught up. I was so caught up at one point in missing God. But then God knows where we are. He sees us. Amen. He's going to take care of us. He's not going to let us utterly fall. We might stumble just a little bit, but we got to trust him. Just trust him. Amen. Amen. And we're going to be getting rid of some of these obstacles to our prayers. And as we begin to get rid of the obstacles, and read the chapter for yourself. This is an outline that I'm giving you, an outline of the chapter. We're covering some of the major aspects in the chapter. But I tell you, I was a little shaky when I was preparing. Amen. Because there were some things that I saw in myself. So what I'm sharing with you, I'm also sharing with me. And I'm beginning to see, I say, oh, maybe this is the reason, this has not happened, And so I got to work on that. I got to get that straight. I got to get that right so that my prayers will no longer be hindered. Amen. And God can do for me all that he wants to do because he is ready to do it. Amen. He's ready. Glory to God. Okay, our fourth obstacle is a heavy one. Unforgiveness. Amen. Unforgiveness is one of the greatest obstacles to our prayers. Many believers try to masquerade their unforgiveness with statements such as, I was offended, or I only feel resentment towards him or her, or I'm only angry or bothered, or I have something against that person, or I feel hurt. Guess what mine was? But you don't understand. I would say, oh, but you don't understand. The word of God is clear on this matter. And we've looked at this scripture before in Mark 11, 25 and 26. He says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Amen. Forgive when you stand praying. If you've got unforgiveness, that tells you right there, no. He's telling us in the word that when you stand, Jesus is telling us, and when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Amen. It is so important to walk in forgiveness. Amen. What did Jesus say about being angry with our brother? Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, you know, I underline that, huh? Without a cause. It's okay if I got a cause. No, but you, we get the essence of what he's saying. You know, we run around here looking for causes. That whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. I think the author looks at that also in the Amplified. Amen. Okay. So y'all look at that. Unforgiveness, offenses, hurts, wounds, resentment are the guillotine to our prayers. Y'all know what a guillotine is? That was an apparatus that they would use like after you had been sentenced to cut your head off. You know, they would put your head in there and then this blade would come down and it would chop your head off. So, I mean, he's saying, our author is saying that, you know, anytime we are in unforgiveness, offense, hurt, wound, resentment, that we're cutting off our prayers. Amen. And I put in parentheses, let it go. You know, is it, you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? Let it go. Let it go. Heaven will be like bronze for us. You know, nothing can go through. Nothing can go through. Unforgiveness breaks our relationship with God. He is unable to hear our prayer if we harbor something against our brother. Amen. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Why does God not forgive our offenses when we choose not to forgive others? Now, this is a long one. Turn to Matthew 18. Let me see if I can stir y'all up a little bit. We're going to read verse 21 through 35. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And y'all have read this before, but we're gonna look at it together. Okay. 20:21. Okay, ready? Let's read. Then and said, Lord, how oft shall and I forgive him? Tell seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a king which would take account of his servants. And when he begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Hold on. I have a footnote in my Bible. The 10,000 talents, and it says, which is worth millions of dollars. Okay? So this is what he owed after it had been reckoned. Verse 25, ready, let's read. But for as much as he not to pay his to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Hold on, 100 pence, footnote in my Bible. The Roman penny is the eighth part of an ounce, which is valued at a few dollars. Okay? So the first man owed millions. Okay? The second man, a few dollars. Okay? A few dollars. Verse 20, I'm sorry, read on. 100 pence. And
took him by the throat.
saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the servant saw, and came and told unto their lord all that was done, then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou have on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Amen. Can you see that? I mean, look what this Lord did. I mean, he forgave this man all of this money. I mean, he fell down. He said, have mercy on me. Give me some more time. Be patient with me. And the Lord was moved with compassion. He said, oh, okay, all right, I forgive you. And then he went, turned right around and go find somebody else who owes him so much less. Amen? And then he, no compassion, no pity. I mean, he's just going to take the man and just throw him in prison. Now, how the man going to pay you in prison, you know? She said, how you going to pay him? I mean, you lock him up. I mean, he's not going to be able to pay you for true then. Amen? But then look, when the Lord heard about it, when the Lord, I forgave you all this debt, and this is what you did. He locked him up after that, turned him over to tormentors. And we gonna find out a little bit later here what the tormentors are. Our author, he tells us that Jesus was trying to teach us with this passage that the servant had a debt that could never be repaid. Amen. A debt that could never be repaid. And that's us. We had a debt that could never be repaid. Amen. And Jesus took care of it for us. Amen. So, because that debt was so high, so expensive that, we knew we could never pay it. He's using this to show us that no matter what our brother or our sister will do to us, it will never equal what Jesus has already taken care of on our behalf. Yes, we feel hurt. Yes, people do things. Yes, they don't understand. And, I know a lot of times, I can only speak for me, it doesn't always happen immediately. I used to be one of those people who said, I'll forgive you, but I ain't gonna forget. Well, I did. I mean, for years, I said that. But then, once I began to really read the Bible, and study the Bible and really go to a church where I was being taught and could understand, I knew that not only did I have to forgive, but I also had to forget. Because then people started telling me, well, Joanne, if you don't forget, you haven't forgiven. And I found out that there are going to be times you're going to remember, but don't let the memory of what they did interfere with your loving them no matter what. We still have to walk in love. Our commandment is to walk in love no matter what. As hard as it might seem, we got to walk in love. Some people we got to love from a distance. Amen. And that's okay. That's okay. Love them from a distance, but still walk in love. Because, you're going to find out when you believe in God for something, I've been there. And one of the things that my man of God told me, he said, walk in love as much as possible, as much as possible. There are going to be times, people are going to pull you off. Because when you're standing, That's what they say. I mean, he's going to use them. The enemy's going to use them to try to pull you off, to get you out of love. I like that word, distracted. You know, to distract you, get you out of love, to get you off course. Because he knows that as long as you are in unforgiveness, God cannot do for you what he wants to do. So, I mean, the Holy Ghost, he will help you. Amen. He will help you to forgive. And I can tell you right now, I don't care who has done anything to me, what they have done. I would never, ever do anything on purpose to hurt anybody. Now, I get a little riled up and say some things sometimes. People think it's on purpose, but it's not. You know, it's not. My grandma used to, she taught me, she said, what comes up does not have to come out. That's what she told me. But for some reason, it just come out anyway. You know, it just come out. You know, I say, I don't mean no harm. I'm so sorry. You know, and I apologize. And I ask God to forgive me. That's the other thing. You know, even when we miss it, you know, you're standing, you're believing. Just ask God to forgive you. And know that he will. You know, that, and he's not going to be like me. He's not going to remember it. Amen. You know, he will not. He will not. When you say, Lord, forgive me, Lord God. You know, that's what you say in your word. If I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I receive it right now. As far as he's concerned, it's done. It is done. So do not allow the enemy to hold you in any condemnation about that. Just go on and be free and thank God for it and forget that you ever did it. Amen. The only person that's going to remind you of it is Satan. Amen. He's the only one that's going to remind you. God will never. As far as he's concerned, it's taken care of. But he wants to just stop you. Amen. He wants your prayers to be hindered. He wants you not to have that confidence that you need. Amen. When you pray. Our author says, perhaps someone has offended or mistreated you. But this will never compare to what we have done against God. You know, he says, how many times have we missed it? How many times have we sinned against God? You know, really and truly, I mean, you know, even if you're just 18 years old and you, you know, he was saying 70 times 7. And I forget, I think the author gives us some numbers. And he was talking about thousands, you know. We have done this against God. So, I mean, we can forgive somebody who maybe... You know, we say, let me see, the question was asked seven times. You know, maybe about 10 times. We might let them go about 10 times. They do the same thing. They just do the same thing 10 times. You know, it still does not compare how many times we have transgressed against God. Amen. And he's a good God. Oh, my God. He is such a good God, and he has forgiven us so many times. He has blessed us in spite of. He has loved us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And just think, he wants to do even more. Amen. Yeah. All he wants us to do right now is get rid of these obstacles. Yeah. You know, there's a scripture, Psalms 139, 23 and 24, and it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know? That's what you have to do, and you should do it probably like on a daily basis, especially when you feel the need, especially when you feel, search me, oh God, show me, you know, like show me what's blocking me, show me what obstacle it is, show me what I'm doing, you know. So often we want to look at somebody else. Sometimes, you know, it's like they doing it, they're stopping me, they're not stopping you, they're not blocking you. Amen. Start with us, you know, search me, and as God begins to reveal things to you, then get it straight. Get it straight between you and God. And then we're going to begin to see our prayers being answered. And we know the word. We know the word. I'm not concerned about any of y'all in here. Y'all know the word. Our students online, you know the word. Amen. And when God began to reveal to us what's hindering us, what's stopping us, what's blocking us from receiving, just get it straight. Get it straight, and when we get it straight, then he's going to be able to answer our prayers. What happens when we don't forgive? The word tells us, and this is what we saw in the passage we just read, that we will be turned over to our torturers. That's their tormentors. These are demons. Now, isn't that something, huh? These are demons, and the consequences that we must face. And he says, such as poverty, wretchedness, sickness, depression. He says, among too many to mention. You know, when we start to see these things, let's just check up. Okay, what's going on here? What's going on? It's not always the case, okay? It's not always the case. But check yourself. Search yourself. Amen? Through sin, we give the enemy a legal right to destroy us. Anger, resentment, bitterness, and hate follow the cycle of unforgiveness. So anytime, you know, you're in unforgiveness, you can start to look for these things. You can start to look for anger, start to look for resentment, start to look for bitterness. Amen? Because they follow unforgiveness. Let's turn over to 1 John. And I know I'm going through this kind of quickly, but I want y'all to read it. 1 John chapter 2. And then 1 John chapter 3, which is right next door. 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It says, let's see, hold on. I was about to read in 3. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. We're talking about hating your brother, not forgiving your brother. Amen. You're in darkness. You're in darkness. And if you look over in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Look at that. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Amen. No murderer has. I mean, you know, you hating your brother calls you a murderer. What should we do when someone offends us? Now, when somebody offends us, what should we do? Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. Be angry, but do not sin. So he didn't say don't get angry. We're going to get angry. It's just that when you get angry, don't sin. Amen. Never leave pending any unresolved issues. Otherwise, the offense you don't forgive today will eventually turn into bitterness and hate. All your prayers will be rejected if you allow that to happen. You understand? If you allow that to happen. There are many blessings from God that are now on hold. I mean, that thing caught me. There are many blessings from God that are now on hold. And this is the way I thought about it. I thought about it like there are blessings that are hung up in the spirit realm. Amen. They are on hold because of our unforgiving attitude. The condition of our hearts, what we feel, how we deal with unresolved offenses is what stops God's blessings from ever coming. And above all, it is a major obstacle to having our prayers answered. Amen? Amen. Amen. So these are the four obstacles that our author gave us. Y'all remember that. And, you know, he's saying that if y'all can get this straight, then your prayers will be answered. Amen. No more hindrances, no more obstacles. Amen. We're not going to go into the next chapter. It'll be too much. Amen. Y'all be blessed.